Federal agencies are looking for ways to improve performance, but they've also got to be careful with every dollar they spend. The Defense Department is a case in point, DOD under a mandate to cut future spending by nearly $500 billion. Sequestration threatens to make things worse. Well, this hour, we're exploring just how two DOD components are balancing performance and resources. And welcome to our latest Federal News Radio discussion.
And joining us in the studio are Dave Bennett, Vice Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency, Eric Fanning, Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy and Deputy Chief Management Officer, and Dr. Natalie Hopi Haddon, Associate Director at the George Washington University Center for Excellence in Public Leadership. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to throw out the first question to Dave Bennett at DISA, and let's just kind of set the scene here. Describe your program or line of responsibility, and more importantly, what your main challenges are for 2012 and 2013.
Okay, good morning. Thanks for having me. In DISA, my responsibility is really looking at the oversight of all the acquisition programs within the agency. One of the principal things we try to stay focused on are where are the programs going, what capabilities are they delivering, and are they doing it at the expected cost and schedule that we're expecting them to be delivering capability to the warfighters. As we go forward with everything that's going on with the tightening budgets, obviously how much they are delivering in what time frame and at what dollar is really the key focus that we're looking at. As the agency progresses towards providing enterprise services to the Department of Defense, it's critical that we look at it from the standpoint of delivering capability that is interoperable across the department and is flexible enough to provide the capabilities that the various departments need to do their wartime mission and be able to do it in such a way that they don't have to deliver the same capability or provide the same infrastructure that we at the agency can be providing.
And Eric Fanning of the Navy, tell us what your big deal is for 2012. I mean, there's probably across the board, but give us the top ones.
Good morning. Yes. Our big priorities, obviously, are dealing with the new budget trajectory. The Chief Management Officer framework was created by Congress really out of frustration with the Department of Defense's inability to deliver large-scale IT business systems. And quickly, the CMOs and the Deputy Chief Management Officers, the DCMOs, realized that to do that, we had to focus beyond IT systems to all of the business operations and business processes and really work with the functional community to realign and reinvigorate those communities and get them to take charge of their processes. The biggest challenge really is a governance challenge, and it's a bit of a catch-22 with the budget. In many ways, the budget pressures make it possible for me to do my job in ways that wouldn't have been possible 5-10 years ago with the budget going up. So you have leadership attention because of the decreased resources that are available. But the way the budget process is taking place and the looming specter of sequestration also can distract the leadership because there's a new fire every day on a much larger scale. So for me, it's the double-edged sword of the budget that's really the biggest issue that drives what we do and threatens some of the work that we're doing.
And Natalie Hopi Haddon from George Washington University, you come at this kind of in a consultative way, looking at it from the outside, working with including DOD agencies, but across the federal agencies. What are you seeing?
Well, we're seeing the work that we do with federal agencies is around leadership development. And so we have the privilege of working with folks that are across all levels of the organization, including senior management folk, as well as folks who have absolutely no management responsibility, but are the folks in the front lines doing the work. So what we see is the concern about will there be money for my program that I'm responsible for or that I have a piece of, as well as how do we do this, and what is it that the senior leadership in our agency is intending, and how well are they communicating that down to wherever I am in the organization?
So let's start. All of you guys are doing very interesting things, but Dave, let me just start with you. You have this big goal of overseeing acquisition, IT acquisition for DISA. Can you break that down a little bit in terms of your process? I mean, given this big goal, how do you actually break it down to these manageable small parts that you can keep track of and measure your performance on?
So we've done a lot of things over the last couple of years in the agency to get to the point of moving to smaller, more discreetly defined programs so that we have program managers, project leaders who are managing the day-to-day execution of those projects. When it comes up to the CAE level, we're looking at it more at the macro level to see how those capabilities are interacting and interoperable across the other programs in the agency as well as across the department. We have a series of processes that we have in place now to look at and make sure that we're not being redundant in delivering capability that that the agency is putting out or that the services themselves are putting out. So we do try to minimize to the extent possible redundancy and deliver unique capability that will support the needs across the department.
Have you increased any sort of meetings or other types of things? We've heard of at other agencies they have like TechStat or HUDstat or, you know, things where you bring people together so that they can actually find out that they are doing the same thing as, say, a person in another component?
Yeah, we have a couple of things like that. One of the principal functions that we have in the agency meeting-wise is on a weekly basis, we go through from an agency perspective, even from the three-star level all the way down, a review of select programs across the agency to say, where are you at? Where are you going? What are the difficulties you're running into? How does this relate to your DOD partners? Are you delivering the capability they're expecting? And do you have any dependencies there so that we can make sure that feedback is brought back into the programs and into the agency to help drive the agency in particular directions?
Maybe I can ask the two of you to chime in too, Eric and Natalie. Are you seeing more of these types of meetings and types of communication going on to get at these same sorts of things?
I would say hopefully not more meetings, but we're using existing governance structures, existing processes, existing meetings in a different way. We're really trying to refocus and realign those projects that we have underway or processes we have underway to get at what Dave was talking about. First of all, to think about IT as a supporting element. We'd gotten into this pattern where the functional part of the Department of the Navy would set out a list of requirements and turn it over to the acquisition community to build it into some large system. And we're refocusing that now to realize IT is one of many tools that a functional community has to improve, to standardize, to optimize its business practices. So we had a number of things in place, business enterprise architecture, the end-to-end processes we're working on, transition plans, which look at how we connect down some of our legacy systems. And it's refocusing that based on the lessons that we've learned.
One of the key things that we're finding is the most important thing we can teach people about leadership is an understanding of the bigger picture, that their whatever their division or their program is actually has an impact across an agency. And so to give them that bigger picture of what other people in the agency do and so that they know how to connect with folks and develop a network across the agency so that if they've got a problem or they're trying to fix something or they're called on to be part of a tiger team to address an agency-wide issue, they've got a set of connections that they can draw on to do that. So it's so important, it's such an important part of our work is to give them that bigger picture of how does my agency work and how does that fit into the larger structure, particularly, say, our DOD agency partners who are part of an entire department and not just their specific agency.
And I was wondering if the GPRA modernization, is that primarily aimed at civilian agencies or has that had any effect on how DOD components do things? Why don't we ask you first, Dave Bennett?
I believe it has. One of the key tenets is really how do you eliminate redundancy and how do you basically deliver capability at as cheap a rate as you can. And so from an agency perspective, it's been critical that we try to ensure that we're building capabilities that others aren't doing. And even to the point of when we get ready to deliver or build a capability, we first look out across the services to see if the services are doing something that we can pull into the organization and use that capability instead of developing it ourselves. The other aspect of it is we've got a huge effort going on right now to move to enterprise services so that we can stand up a capability that is useful across the entire DOD so that the other departments don't have to try and deliver the same capability.
And Mr. Fanning in the Navy, of course, there's nothing that doesn't seem to be scrutinized by somebody. But how has GPRA modernization affected your approach?
Well, it's we have the warfighting side and then the support side, the business support side. And on the warfighting side, I think the Department of Defense, certainly the Navy and Marine Corps have tried and true, longstanding, good processes in place to measure performance and output. What GPRA has done, modernization has done, is help us on the business side bring together the objectives at the various levels. DOD is a very large and complex organization, and so that legislation, that process, has forced us to align more closely on the objectives on the support side. And you can see that it cascades down from the Department of Defense's key strategic goals into the Department of Navy's key strategic goals. They overlay each other very nicely.
It's 9:16.
Our guests today are Dave Bennett, Vice Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency, Eric Fanning, Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy and Deputy Chief Management Officer, and Dr. Natalie Hopi Haddon, Associate Director at George Washington University's Center for Excellence in Public Leadership. This is a Federal News Radio discussion, DOD Performance Management, and the Budget Crunch. More after the break. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin, on Federal News Radio 1500. AM.
Hey everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the DC area's one and only food and wine variety show.
We hope you have a happy Easter next Sunday, April 8th, and we'll be playing a best of. It's our first live remote at Carmine's. We were joined by Michelle Richard, Jeff Black, Scott Trunow, and Joe Nathan. You'll get to hear all about it.
That's Foodie and the Beast next Sunday and every Sunday at 11, right here on 1500 AM.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
I have this dream where I'm wading through a crowd. Now and then, someone stops and offers me a new job, and it seems like the opportunities are endless. Soon, I'm doing the work I've always wanted to do, designing smarter energy systems that transform communities, save millions of dollars, and... Wait, that's no dream. That actually happened. After I got my master's degree in electrical engineering from Capital College.
Capital's master's program in electrical engineering prepares you for some of today's most in-demand jobs. It's conducted online with live streaming audio, so you get the interactivity of a classroom without having to fight traffic to get there. And Capital is one of only 8 colleges and universities nationwide endorsed by IEEE as a provider of a quality engineering education.
I'm living out my dream because of Capital College. It isn't for everyone, but it's perfect for me.
For a virtual info session on graduate programs at Capital College, visit capital-college.edu/radio. That's capital with an O, -college.edu/radio.
This afternoon between 3 and 7 on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, the Federal News Countdown, featuring the three most important federal news stories of the week as selected by two experts in the world of the federal government. The latest in the blow-up at the General Services Administration, now Congress is starting to pile on. That and lots more this afternoon between 3 and 7 on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
9:20, welcome back to the Federal News Radio discussion on DOD performance management and the budget crunch here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin along with Emily Kopp. Our guests this morning are Dave Bennett, Vice Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency, Dr. Natalie Holtby-Hadden, Associate Director at George Washington University's Center for Excellence in Public Leadership, and Eric Fanning, Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy and Deputy Chief Management Officer.
And before the break, we were talking about what your goals actually are in your prospective agencies. Now, Eric, I want to ask you, how do you measure whether you're getting to that goal? What sort of metrics do you use?
Well, the metrics are key, but they do flow out of the objectives. That's the important starting point. You have to have very clear, high-level objectives that that the leadership set and that they communicate well in order for the institution then to determine what the metrics are to measure against those objectives. In the Navy, in the Department of the Navy, we have a very elaborate process in place to set our key objectives. They cascade down from the administration, from DOD. They're not meant to be all things to all people, but the Secretary of the Navy, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, and the Chief of Naval Operations are very personally involved in setting these objectives. And then the really hard work begins of setting the metrics that measure that, because you can very easily fall back on choosing metrics that are easy to report as opposed to what really tell you if you're making progress. And if you get the metrics wrong or misunderstand what the metrics say, then you're going to be managing them in the wrong direction. An example would be in the Department of Defense and certainly the Department of the Navy, eliminating sexual assault is a key goal of all the leadership. And you can, by increasing awareness on sexual assault issues, the command and control chains that are in place to report those things, you can actually see the reporting incidents of those assaults go up because you are raising awareness of where people can go if something like that happens. And so getting the right metrics in place is important. And another example, this is before my time, was on welfare and morale. And the three military departments were rated. The metric was how much money they were investing in that. The Department of the Navy was investing per capita less dollars than the other military departments were. And so we were getting red all the time on that metric on where we're doing there. But if you surveyed the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marine, we were doing pretty well in that metric. So you have to get the metrics right, make sure that they're output metrics. The way I phrase it to people when they come to me is, you know, what would you do with another dollar? Or in this environment, what makes it easier is, what would happen if I cut your budget in half? You know, where would the needles change? What would you stop doing?
So going back to the example you raised about sexual assault, did you guys change the metrics so that you have a more accurate idea of whether actually people are starting to learn about the dangers of sexual assault?
You do. You really have to validate this, and it comes out of a lot of study. What input dollars or investments do lead to changes in behavior, changes in awareness, and so forth? So what kind of training, for example? And that takes time, but yeah, you stand up the program, and the metrics that are returned to you are, we're going to increase the number of conferences, we're going to increase the number of emails or these types of things. But so you have to go through the work to really determine which of those investments is actually changing behavior or changing awareness. So yes, we've changed the metrics on that over time. Same with safety, another one where you would think the metrics are obvious, but they're often not the right metrics.
And to me, it seems like perhaps the military has a better handle of metrics than civilian agencies. It's more regimented, et cetera. Natalie, I'm curious to know from your work at George Washington University whether you see anything that the military has when it comes to metrics that they're doing right and pinpointing the right metrics that can translate to civilian agencies.
I think part of it is the sort of life and death nature of what it is that the Department of Defense does. And because of that, in a way that's much clearer than for some of the more civilian-focused federal agencies, everyone is aware that what they do has an impact on whether a warfighter at the end of in the case of DISA, for example, at the end of the communications line, whether they're going to have what they need to accomplish the mission and also to be safe. And so in that sense, I think there's a mission focus that enables a willingness to judge performance measurement as a key factor in what they do, in a way that if you can focus other agencies and government workers and other agencies on what the mission is, then they will, again, work very hard to accomplish that. So I think the life and death nature of what it is the Department of Defense does raises the willingness to do it in some ways, but that everybody, once they're focused on the mission, then everyone is willing to say, yes, we'll do what it takes to achieve that mission, because almost everybody in federal government has bought into being in public service and the importance of what they do.
And Dave Bennett, I wanted to ask about DISA because you are a service provider to the armed services. And so what's your process for arriving at the right metrics?
So I'll come at it from a program perspective and really try and tackle it from two aspects. In the past, we've really focused on discrete programs providing specific capability to a collective community of interest. I'll use command and control as an example. You know, we have specific requirements from the user's perspective as to what capability they need, how fast they need it to operate, and specific operational requirements. And so those requirements tend to drive the metrics that you're going to collect for that capability to ensure it's meeting the mark for that particular community's needs. Now, we look at a variety of different metrics. Some are performance, some are availability, a variety of technical things. And I would say most of our metrics in the program side are technically focused to make sure that the capability is doing what it was supposed to do at the agreed-to time frame and circumstances, et cetera. Now, as we move to enterprise services as more and more of a focus in the agency, we're really turning more and more to service-level agreements where, as we are interacting with the users for that capability, we are upfront defining what their needs and their availability rates and other operational requirements are in terms of specific services they want, how much redundancy, availability, et cetera. And we capture that information right up front before we do anything. And then we make sure that the metrics that we are collecting are all geared towards being able to achieve those service level agreements. So it's sort of like a report card, if you will, on our ability to make sure we're delivering what we signed up to do.
It's 9:28.
Our guests today are Dave Bennett, Vice Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency, Eric Fanny, Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy and Deputy Chief Management Officer, and Dr. Natalie Hopey Haddon, Associate Director at George Washington University's Center for Excellence in Public Leadership. This is a Federal News Radio discussion, DoD performance management, and the budget crunch. More on that after the break. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's Karit Amin, CTO HUD, on the Navigating the Private Cloud panel, sponsored by Microsoft and Dell.
And I think the biggest distinction might be between private and public. Cloud might be that in the private, I'm operating within my enterprise, within my perimeter of my security, right? It's predominant to me and has to be. And I think most agencies are very aware of that.
To listen to the whole program, made possible by Microsoft and Dell, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Today's federal agencies are being asked to do much more with less. With requirements to consolidate data centers, increase security, approve agility, and demonstrate mission-critical alignment, all while ensuring the cost-effectiveness of a virtualized infrastructure, the task can be daunting. Moving toward the private cloud could be the answer. And the best news is that you may already own products like Microsoft Windows Server, System Center, SQL Server, SharePoint, and Exchange, which can help you get your agency well on its way. To learn more, visit Microsoft.com/transformgovIT.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every week here at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Dave Schombert, founder, president, and CIO of Metropolitan Capital Strategies. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you want to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Max out your privacy settings on social networks. Restrict as much as you can what people can see of you. Close all your old accounts. Chances are it's got an email that you've reused. They could guess the maiden name of your mother or your first pet or something.
Yeah.
A lot of the celebrities whose email accounts were hacked, their challenge question was something that you could look up on the internet.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. An NIH study has found a safe and effective way for paramedics to treat prolonged seizures.
It's been known for a long time that midazolam is effective at controlling seizures. It's easier to give. So people in the emergency setting have been using midazolam.
Dr. Walter Quarishetz at the NIH says paramedics have been administering midazolam with an auto-injector, much like the EpiPen used to treat serious allergic reactions.
The problem was there was no evidence before to indicate that the dose was right, that it was equivalent to what had previously been defined as the standard of care, which was the lorazepam dose.
For study details, visit www.ninds.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the NIH, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Registration's now open for the all-new ACT-IAC Management of Change Conference, featuring interactive sessions around cloud, mobility, and security, and a future technology expo, June 3rd through 5th at the Hyatt Regency, Cambridge, Maryland. This government industry training forum is hosted by the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council. Register and learn more at actgov.org/managementofchange. That's actgov.org/managementofchange.
Good morning. It's 9:32. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion on DOD performance management and the budget crunch. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our guest this morning, Eric Fanning, Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy and Chief Deputy Chief Management Officer, and Dr. Natalie Hopeby Haddon, Associate Director at George Washington University's Center for Excellence in Public Leadership, and Dave Bennett, Vice Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency. And the first question I had was, we've just talked about setting metrics and how you do that to make sure the programs are working right. But then there's the issue of resources. So starting with Dave Bennett at DISA, tell us how you bring the metrics and the performance measures back around to the resources that you have, especially in times when resources are limited and to some degree uncertain.
So as we've evolved our capabilities over time, the agency from an organization perspective has sort of grown up and evolved with the capabilities. And as metrics have come more and more into play to define what the capabilities are, how well they operate, et cetera, we've started to, over time, evolve the agency structure, if you will, to make sure we had the right dollars, the right people, et cetera, in place to be able to deliver the capability on the time schedule and to the performance level that is expected. One recent example is just this past December, January timeframe. As we move to more and more of an enterprise services perspective, we actually collapsed two organizations together and so that they could then focus on enterprise services from all the way from the computing platform layer all the way through the delivery of the application to ensure we had all the right focus and performance metrics and everything tuned to that specific capability.
And I imagine because you're in, to some degree, the telecom business, I mean, you used to measure how many circuits you bought, and the metrics were much different than they are in the IP and unified communications era. So how's that affected how you do things?
So, you know, we at the agency, we really provide all layers of capability from the communications infrastructure all the way through to the application. So we don't just look at the discrete, how many channels you have or how many IP circuits or whatever. We really have to look at it holistically across the entire spectrum so that we're focused right now on delivering an integrated platform that really provides you the capability, the communications capability, the network capability, as well as the infrastructure and the applications as a collective package so that you're really measuring the end-to-end performance of the capability, not just one piece of the puzzle.
And Eric Fanning, I imagine budgeting in the Navy has got to be one of the most arcane processes in the world. How has that changed in light of the new era of service delivery and resources and GPRA modernization?
Well, some people would call it arcane or cumbersome. It's definitely a very elaborate process, but I think it's a very robust and strong process. On the warfighting side, the services, certainly the Department of the Navy, very good at applying resource against priorities and measuring outcome and having metrics. There are tried and true models that have evolved over time. It's the business side where we have a little bit more trouble, the supporting side, and part of that is we don't know. In many cases, we haven't baselined the cost of doing business, and so it's very hard to come up with those metrics and determine where should we be pulling money out of how we do things, where should we be leaning things, making them more efficient. And so that's really the focus of the DCMO in the Department of the Navy right now is figuring out what does it cost us to do business so we know where to go in and make changes and squeeze out some of that resource so it's available for the warfighting side of the budget.
So that's almost a value analysis process is what they would call that in industry.
Absolutely. It is, knowing your end-to-end processes, exactly how much they cost, where your technology is slowing you down, where you need technology to invest, where you have processes in place that are cumbersome, where you have policy in place that's outdated. And we have examples of success of that in the Navy and Marine Corps where we've been focusing in the last 3 years since the DCMOs have been in place.
I'm just wondering how complicated a process is it to find that baseline, because a lot of agencies kind of say the same thing, that they don't exactly know where they're starting from. Seems like a very you have to make a very comprehensive effort to do this.
You do. It is very complicated. It starts with, as I said earlier, having the right governance and alignment in place. You have to define what are those functional communities and who is responsible for them. Someone has to be responsible for a community that's the right swim lane, so they own the whole end-to-end process and can control it, then map it out, cost it out, and decide where it needs to be changed. So it is, an organization of a million people, military, civilian, contractors, and $160 billion budget. There's a lot of work to be done, but you pick the larger areas and you move through your targets of opportunity.
And Dr. Hopi Haddon, what are you seeing in terms of best practices for making sure that mission areas and delivery and measurement and budget people, sometimes they're siloed, that they can be integrated in such a way as that there's an end-to-end kind of approach to performance and budgeting?
Well, I think, Tom, it's the performance and budgeting together. People are realizing that that as far down in the agency as in an organization as you can go, it's important for everybody to have at least some idea of how budget works with the performance of the agency. And so performance-based budgeting is really how all of this is coming together. And that even if you're not responsible for deciding how dollars get used, the fact that you use dollars in order to do your work is an increasing awareness, I think, at lower levels of the organization. Certainly in leadership development programs, it's one of the key factors that at least to inform employees about how the federal budget works and how their work actually is impacted by dollars. I think the budget crisis and the continuing resolutions has been very important for letting people know how key the budget is for the work I do, no matter whether I have budget responsibility.
We'll have more after the break. It's 9:39.
And our guests today are Dave Bennett, Vice Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency, Eric Fanning, Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy and Deputy Chief Management Officer, and Dr. Natalie Hopi Haddon, Associate Director at George Washington University's Center for Excellence in Public Leadership. This is a Federal News Radio discussion, DoD performance management, and the budget crunch. More after the break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Exercising this week From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Feel like exercising this week? How about every week? Researchers have been tracking week-by-week changes in people's motivation to exercise, and they say those don't-feel-like-it weeks can really hurt the capacity to stick with the program. At Penn State, David Conroy measured weekly intentions and physical activity performance of 33 college students over 10 weeks. He says people with the strongest weekly commitments were more likely to be successful, but he warns
most people set goals without considering their commitment and how those commitments will change from a week-to-week basis.
So good time management to work on consistency can help. The study in the Journal of Sport and Exercise Psychology was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Federal pay and benefits are taking center stage in the 2013 budget debate. President Obama has proposed a 0.5% pay increase for feds, while Republicans are calling for a federal pay freeze through 2015. Republicans also support a 10% cut to the size of the federal workforce, while both plans promote an increase in feds' contributions to their retirement accounts. FederalNewsRadio.com is your home for all of the latest budget news. Visit FederalNewsRadio.com, search term budget.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive.
Patrick Goulet is chief of the Office of Special Counsel's USERRA unit. The Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act says employers can't penalize returning troops for their military service.
OPM wanted to make it clear that the federal government should be leading the way in terms of protecting veterans' job rights, and that complaints against the government will not be tolerated and should be resolved, and that's where OSC comes in.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/FederalDrive.
941. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion on DOD performance management and the budget crunch. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin, and we're joined today by Eric Fanning, Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy and Deputy Chief Management Officer, and Dr. Natalie Hopi Haddon, Associate Director at George Washington University's Center for Excellence in Public Leadership, and Dave Bennett, Vice Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency. And Mr. Bennett, before the break, you were speaking about how DISA has evolved to be this ever-changing, very dynamic organization that can meet lots of different goals throughout the military. I'm wondering what sort of skills your workforce has to have in order for you to be that ever-evolving, very efficient organization.
So as you can well expect in the IT sector, technology is changing so rapidly, it's hard to get somebody that is up to speed all the time on all the technologies that are out there. So one of the things that we're trying to do is retool the workforce from the standpoint of making sure we have the right skill sets as we're going forward with new technologies such as mobility, as well as enterprise services and some of the new capabilities that are coming out in the IT arena. So we're always constantly looking to bring in new fresh eyes, new ears, et cetera, such as through our intern program, through our leadership development programs, as well as working with the people that we have to constantly give them new opportunities to expand their capabilities and their experiences by moving them from program to program to give them that large experience base so they're not siloed or stovepiped into a particular scenario or project. We find that the more we're able to move people project to project or get them working in different areas, it helps us to ensure that we have the bench strength we need with the various skill sets to be able to work with the new technologies as they're coming on.
And just a quick follow-up, I imagine because DISA is so many pieces put together, it looks like where you're working at that particular moment. So do you have an onboarding process for people that gives them a chance to see the overall mission of the combined components that make up DISA?
Absolutely. We have an activity in the organization called Transforming DISA that basically is focused over a 2 or 3 day period where we bring all newcomers as well as people who've been in the agency for a while to come in, and we basically lay out the agency focus, mission, structure, as well as where we're trying to go strategically so that we keep the workforce informed and aware of what we're doing, where we're going, how we're getting there. So it keeps them up to speed on stuff that is happening, not necessarily in their space or their area of responsibility, but more of a broader agency perspective.
Dr. Natalie Hopi-Haddon, are you seeing agencies still putting resources into this type of workforce development and training and mobility now that the budget is so tight?
Yes, absolutely. The what's interesting is that there's an increasing awareness that they need to do training. The challenge is the travel budgets associated with getting people in and out. So that's the big shift, is how do you get people to training? But the importance of training, everybody is very well aware of. But that's the big struggle, is how do you justify travel dollars to get people to, say, a centralized training if they're coming in from the field? That's been the big challenge for agencies.
Of course, there's a lot of technological solutions to that nowadays that are much better than they used to be.
That's correct. So looking at video conferencing as a way to do training and so on. The challenge, of course, with that is that actually meeting somebody face-to-face and the kind of learning that goes on when you're not physically in the classroom, that's the piece that's going to be lost if we move to technological solutions.
Just don't do it in Las Vegas.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And Eric Fanning, I know that earlier in perhaps a past life, you had a lot of interaction with business executives when you worked for the Business Executives for National Security think tank here in Washington. And in many ways, this type of thing is very easy in the private sector compared with government. You know, companies have profits and they have shareholders and they know where they're going. From your experience, is there anything that you take from that applies to your job at the Navy? In other words, any of those sort of best practices in business that are directly translatable?
Sure. I don't know that I necessarily was easy for business, but they do have something we don't always have. They have clear incentives and motivation, getting the price down for their customers, profit loss, returning profits to their shareholders. So, you know, the key part in government is finding the right motivators and the right incentives. And, a number of my colleagues struggle with the budget cuts, trying to produce the same capability they did before with fewer resources. But on my end of the business of the organization, the budget cuts help with that motivation. They focus people. They bring them to the table. They're looking for solutions. They're trying to figure out, how can I do what I did yesterday with 80% of the resource that I had? So it really is it's finding that motivation, that incentive that would have been very hard in my job 5, 6, 7 years ago when we were in the middle of a very, very steep budget increase.
Our guests today are Dave Bennett, Vice Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency, Eric Fanning, Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy and Deputy Chief Management Officer, and Dr. Natalie Hopi-Haddon, Associate Director at George Washington University's Center for Excellence in Public Leadership. It's 9:47. And this is a Federal News Radio discussion, DOD performance management and the budget crunch. More after the break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Are you ready to take a leadership role in your public service or nonprofit career? Become a leader at the forefront of modern government practices with a Master of Public Administration degree from Central Michigan University in Alexandria. This unique program is enriched with international content, a vital element in today's global economy. CMU's Master of Public Administration degree is NASPAA certified and the gold standard degree for public administrators.
I would recommend, if you work in local, state, or federal government and you're interested in learning about management, organizational leadership, this is definitely a good program. It's a very strong program.
Learn how you can prepare for senior leadership positions with Central Michigan University's adult-friendly Master of Public Administration degree taught right here in Alexandria. Classes will be held at CMU's Alexandria Center. Go to cmich.edu/metrodc. That's cmich.edu/metrodc for more information, or call 877-679-1268. Central Michigan University in Alexandria. Quality degrees, convenient formats. Certified operate by Chev.
More than 60% of the world's air traffic is guided by Lockheed Martin systems. To streamline air traffic control, reduce delays, and increase safety, Lockheed Martin has created a world-class data communications team. Our team is comprised of leading experts in air traffic management, telecommunications, and air-to-ground interoperability. Working in harmony with the FAA, we are the right team to orchestrate a symphony of flights from beginning to end. For more information, go to LockheedMartin.com/datacom.
Here at Best Buy, we have expanded our selection of HD radio car stereo receivers. New HD radio car stereos are in store and offer you the best in digital entertainment and information. More music from local HD2, HD3 radio stations, iPhone, iPod control, digital traffic, iTunes tagging, and more. Best Buy has the leading brands, Alpine, Pioneer, Kenwood, JVC. Lots to choose from, with prices as low as $120. Here at Best Buy, we recommend HD radio technology.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
To balance new cuts with new spending in the FY 2013 budget, federal agencies are achieving savings through emerging technologies. Largely led by chief technology officers, agencies are rewriting the rulebook on areas like shared services, commodity IT, cloud computing, and cybersecurity. Join AFSEA Bethesda April 10th at the Bethesda North Marriott as a panel of CTOs from federal agencies discusses federal IT transformation from the bottom up. Register today at afseabethesda.org/APRbreakfast.
9:51, and welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion on DoD performance management and the budget crunch. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin, and we're joined today by Dave Bennett, Vice Component Acquisition Executive at the Defense Information Systems Agency, Eric Fanning, Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy and Deputy Chief Management Officer, and Dr. Natalie Hopey Haddon, Associate Director at George Washington University's Center for Excellence in Public Leadership.
And Dr. Hopey Haddon, I'd like to have you answer the first question. Where is this all headed now that we've had a couple of years of really tough budget situations and a few years of GPRA and now the modernization? What will that process of matching performance metrics, budgets together look like as we go ahead into the next few years?
Well, I think it's what everybody realizes is that it's not something that's going to disappear, say, in a new administration or down the road, that performance measurement and focus on the budget is here to stay. And so then I think all federal agencies are looking at how do we align what we do so that we're achieving our mission and are measuring how we achieve our mission. And then also how are we supporting our workforce and understanding both their role in achieving that mission, their role in making wise decisions about the resources that they use and need in order to do the work that they do, and then training folks to be aware of how to use all those resources effectively.
So it sounds like this is going to be something that is a specific area of training and development in the years ahead.
Absolutely. It's become a part of all the programs that we do and a piece that every one of the agencies that we work with asks for.
And Mr. Fanning in the Navy, what's ahead? What do you see as how is this all going to evolve in future years?
Well, that's the key part. The Department of Defense, more so than any other agency, I believe, is accustomed to dramatic swings in the budget. You know, usually after wars, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Cold War, and now this war. And so the trick is to make this permanent, because it is easier to focus on it when there's pressure on your budget than when your budget's increasing. So there is an appreciation for it now that I don't think we'd seen before in other downturns in the budget. But the key is going to be making it permanent. That's part of the training, making people aware of it. You know, we have a community of civil servants, of uniforms who grew up in an environment that was different when they had extra resource to solve problems rather than having to find ways to lean out the processes.
Yeah, especially in the Navy. I mean, you're going to be lucky to have a Navy that's bigger than 300 ships the way the trends are. So the pressure is going to continue to be on probably equally on the armed service part as well as the civilian side.
Absolutely. I mean, we were talking earlier, the workforce writ large is my largest concern in all of this, that we have it trained well, that it's balanced well, that we have the proper mix between contractor civilians and uniform. But I wouldn't split it up that way. It's one Navy, one Marine Corps. You know, everyone's on the same team. And so everyone is feeling that pressure at the same time. And the goal is to support the warfighter as much as possible. That's the mission.
And Mr. Bennett, the DISA agency has been many things in the 20 years I've been following it. It's shrunk, it's grown, it's shrunk again and grown again, and it's been had missions added and taken away, and so it's always evolving. So how do you stay nimble enough to have some central core qualities of being able to do this performance management as the whole thing accordions over the years?
Well, as you would expect, flexibility is key, and we do have to be able to expand and contract as demand increases. And the metrics are really giving us the mechanisms to be able to do that. One of the key things that we're doing right now that metrics play such a critical part to is trying to define what it is we can stop doing now because it's either no longer effective or cost effective or for whatever reason, so that we can focus on the higher priority activities, such as moving to more scalable enterprise services that will support the department at large. Because as the budget shrinks, there's money, less money out there. So folks are going to start coming more and more to the enterprise to see where can I take advantage of something that's available that gives me the same capability that I don't have to do myself. And so as an agency, we're trying to move more in that direction so that we can provide that capability. And in the, as a byproduct, what are the lesser important things that we can identify as, okay, we don't need to do this as much or as often as we used to do, whether we're talking programs or projects or whatever the case may be.